are all here, and we have a special guest in studio with us, Julia Davis. Julia, thank you so much for joining us on behalf of the Tom Coughlin J Fund.
You're welcome.
We're so excited to have you in studio because the annual J Fund Radiothon is coming up on Tuesday, December 1st. That is the annual Giving Tuesday, and we're trying to raise $150,000 this year. Julia, tell people why they should donate.
It goes to a really good cause, and it helps families that have children that are fighting cancer, and it allows those parents to be able to stay at the hospital with their children, which is the most important thing at that time for families.
And how did you get involved with the J Fund?
I was diagnosed with leukemia in July of 1999. Sorry, it sounds weird to say that. in July of 99, so a long time ago. But thankfully, the J Fund stepped in for my family, and my mom and my dad were able to both stop working for a whole month because I was in the hospital in intensive care for two of those weeks, and then followed by a week in the regular hospital and then 1 week at home. But they were able to stay with me the entire time, and they didn't have to worry about work. They didn't have to worry about bills. They didn't have to worry about anything, basically, except taking care of me and making sure we were together.
Julia, tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you originally find out about the diagnosis?
So it's a long story, but the short version of it would be slowly my body just started to, in a way, give out. I was at a swim meet, and I couldn't finish swimming the laps, and my coach literally jumped in and pulled me out of the water. Went home, didn't really want to tell my dad because I knew he'd be a little bit like, you didn't finish your race. So we did, though, and I was like, I feel fine. A couple days later, I got a fever, and they took me to our pediatrician, and they told my parents I had the flu. So we listened to them, and we took the medicine for a week, and my body just kept getting worse and weaker, and it was to the point I couldn't even get up to use the bathroom. I couldn't get up to go get a snack. I was losing weight. I was pale. So finally, my dad said, tomorrow you're going in, and we're finding out what's wrong, and boy, did we find out what was wrong. So we went in, and they just did a finger stick, and they gave my mom an envelope and told us, do not open this envelope, just go to Wolfson's emergency room. And about an hour later, I was in intensive care getting, I don't even know how many bags of blood, but a lot of blood and a lot of platelets. And as you can see, our family, we'd make the light of it. But I remember looking at my mom and being like, Mom, this is great. I feel great. I'm ready to go home. And her look on her face was, we're not going anywhere anytime soon. Little did I know what was happening. But all that blood made me feel better. So I thought, okay, well, we're good. We're ready to go. I'm ready to go back. But then that night they told my parents that's what they thought it was. And then in the morning, Dr. Sandler came in and told me that I had leukemia ALL. So,
well, Julia, how are you feeling today? This was all diagnosed in 1999. So how are you feeling today?
I feel fantastic. I am enjoying life. I've gotten married. I've had two girls. I feel great.
Now, as a parent, putting yourself in your mom's shoes and your dad's shoes back then, it has to be so hard to even think about what they went through.
It's really hard to think about it. I was 13 when I was diagnosed. I said a lot of things to them that I'm like, oh, that was probably really bad. But they
understood.
Oh, yeah. They understood. But, yeah, being a parent, it changes everything. My dad always said after my diagnosis, he's like, we had this healthy baby, and that's all you really worry about. Like, you don't ever think, well, she's probably going to get cancer or something's going to happen to her. You're like, you have the baby and she's healthy. And as my dad called me his ox, I was strong. I fought hard. He never thought in a million years he'd be looking at me sick. So, I always tell my girls that every day is the greatest gift you can have. And, even if you have a conflict, work through it, figure it out. Because at any moment, at any time, your day can change.
Well, this year, obviously, Julia, has been a lot different for a lot of people with COVID. And, they say with the immune systems and everything like that to be a lot more careful. So how have you handled this year any differently or any more cautiously?
We just do what everyone else does and wear our mask for a good long while. We stayed home. My girls were homeschooled at the end of last year. We do go to school now, but I just do what everyone else does.
Well, Julia, tell us what the J Fund means to you.
What the J Fund means to me is a lot. It does things that a lot of families might not really understand unless you've been through something. You can think like, oh, wow, that would be nice if someone paid my bills. But imagine if you were a single mom and your child gets diagnosed with a cancer or any sort of, you know, disease, then you want to be able to stay with your child. And this is what that organization does. That organization allows these families to take time off from work so they can stay with their child at the hospital and they can spend time with them. And they don't have to worry, you know, well, if I leave my child there by themselves, you know, are they going to get the right care? Are they going to get the medicine on time? But it's hard to put into words what it really means, just because unless you've lived it, it's hard to really understand it. But I know, even talking to my parents before I did this today, you know, to them, it's a real vivid memory of how much it meant that they could just say, okay, we don't have to work right now. We can focus on Julia. We can get her in remission and we can start this process of, for me, what was 2.5 years.
And we focus on the financial part of things a lot of times, but as you just mentioned, 2.5 years. That isn't just a few weeks of having to focus on your child. 2.5 years is a long time to really shift your life's priorities. But they have such a great emotional support as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were involved all along the way. They checked in on us. They talked to us. They gave us pointers. They talked to my parents quite a bit. Yeah, they're there all the time. They don't just say like, oh, we're going to help you for a little bit and then go on. As you can see, it's 20 years later and I'm still involved with them. I volunteer with them. I did a lot more before I had two daughters of my own. But yeah, they continuously check in on you and they continuously, you know, they care about you. And I keep in touch with Rita and they're just great people.
And that's one of the great things, too. We had Marissa Hollenbacher on earlier, used to be Marissa Ierna, and she said the entire J Fund was at her wedding. That's how much, you know, they mean to her and things like that. And she was talking about how they have different parties. And I know for siblings, that's one thing that they focus on, too. And I think that's the bigger picture is it's not just the child that gets diagnosed with cancer. Right. It's every single person in the family whose life is 100% different the next day.
Oh, yeah, that's 100% true. Yeah, I had my sisters. I'm the youngest of three, so my sisters were a bit older. But it changed their lives drastically. My oldest sister was in college. She changed her major to be a child life specialist.
Oh, wow.
My middle sister was almost in college, but she was ended up being a certified pediatric oncology nurse. So it changed what their life became due to what happened to me. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Lauren just mentioned parties, or she said wedding or parties. And so back in February, you had, J Fund had the Valentine's Day party. How was that to kind of share that moment with your family these years later since 1999 when you began? Oh, you didn't go to the, oh, okay.
Well, but last year, I bet that was really cool. You celebrated 20 years since you got the diagnosis and 20 years cancer-free.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. 20, that's awesome. 20 years. And like I wrote, as I'm sure a lot of people do now on Facebook, I reminisced and, you know, I thought about all the things that I've done in 20 years. You know, I've graduated high school. I've graduated college. I've met my husband and married him. I've had two healthy children, which is a blessing by itself. I have a wonderful job. I have a great family. So you just look back in 20 years, you think, well, first of all, you think, God, 20 years, I must be getting old. And secondly, you think like, wow, 20 years, that's a really long time but it's still just right there in your mind at the same time.
Well, our J Fund Radiothon will be in December, December 1st, for Giving Tuesday. So let listeners know, if they haven't given before, why they should give this time.
You should give this time because the hardest thing to say right now would be you should give this time because it could be you one day that needs this care. It could be you or your child or your sister or your mom. It could be anyone you know that might need help one day, and you might find yourself at Wolfson's Hospital having the J Fund come and talk to you.
I think that's really well said. One year, Julia, we had a father come in, and his child had been diagnosed, and he said, I knew about the J Fund because I used to give to the Radiothon, and I never in a million years thought that I would then be the person coming in here to be interviewed because I'm going through it, and then I could talk about it firsthand. But he said, you know, he had just been giving to the Radiothon because people like you come in, share your story. They're so touched, and they certainly hope and pray that, one day it's not them.
Right.
But if they have to go through it, they're so thankful that the J Fund is with them every step of the way.
Very true.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Julia.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
And as Donna said, the J Fund Radiothon this year, December 1st, you will be able to text GOAL to 243-725 to donate $96 or more. And, of course, that 96 represents the 96 kids in our area that are diagnosed with cancer every year. Thank you so much, Julia, for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. We will get to a little sports coming up next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010 XL.
Seven years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010 XL.
Okay, I know we have to, on our list, you know, on our show rundown, we're going to talk Jags. But I looked up and we have ESPN on in here and they're talking NBA. We have RJ in here and they're talking about how LaMelo Ball is the number one draft prospect. Mm-hmm. Please tell me I don't have to see that father or hear about that father. Is that, can we squash that? Can it just be about the son?
I feel like no, because you know that father is the other ball.
Please. RJ, what are your thoughts?
Well, if you've asked anybody and if you look around certain circles, they say the person that's most like LeVar is LaMelo.
Really?
So they say he could possibly be the most marketable out of the three Ball brothers because he acts a lot like his dad. That's
but
why
he's actually really good. He is. It's not like... Who is the how I get them all mixed up? Who is the one that's with the Lake that was with the
Lonzo?
Lonzo. He should not have been drafted number two.
His dad talked him into that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, so.
But this one deserves to go one, RJ.
Top 10.
A top 10 pick, definitely. I think the most glaring thing that I saw from a NBA executive was, he's so good, but can he be humble? And I think that's just the thing going with his dad. Because if you look at LiAngelo, which is the middle child, the one that stole the sunglasses for everybody who doesn't know, and the oldest one, Lonzo, those guys are really, you know, 5 to 7 word answers.
Right.
You know, la, 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 that's it. They always start answers off with definitely, right, yes, of course. LaMelo's trying to do this.
More chatty than that.
Yeah, like LaMelo's trying to do the same thing. LaMelo's being smart. He just did an interview with Rachel Nichols, and he's not giving her anything before this draft. Like, not a sound bite, not a, like nothing like that. He's like, yeah, Dad, you know, I just like being back in the States, but everybody kind of knows if there's one that can potentially fly off the handle and be the most like his father, but it's LaMelo Ball.
Do you really need an NBA player to be humble? Because I feel like the best players have no humility about them whatsoever.
I mean, yeah, there's a certain ego that I feel like you have to have. But I think it's a thing of LaMelo, I think he's going to think coming out. Right. And when you look at the first, I'll say the first two picks, because the third pick is Charlotte. Charlotte really doesn't have anybody. So, I mean, he could act all kinds of ignorant if you want to. Mm-hmm. But when you look at Golden State with the
two
pick, that's ignorant for everybody else.
Lauren recently learned that.
But if you look at Golden State, which his father doesn't want him to go to, he's coming off the bench and he'll be learning from Steph, which I feel like would be a perfect situation. But
I mean, come on. But he's not going to be the main guy. That's why
but
his dad doesn't
be
want
the
him
the man.
There.
That's why his dad doesn't want him there. He wouldn't be the man in Minnesota either, but he'd be a great third piece. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know, you know, how D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns will take to him if he's coming in cold Minnesota saying that I'm the man. He'd definitely be a great market piece.
So essentially he is good and he can talk, but can he back up his play with the smack? Like all of that. He needs to, don't be all the talk. Kind of like what Cam Newton is right now for me. Like, okay, just shush.
Well, y'all beat my Ravens, so I can't really talk.
So sorry. Yeah. But that's how I look at it. Like he's a lot of talk. And then he used to back it up, and now it's like, let's not hear you so much.
Well, LaMelo's never really been a guy to say I'm going to cherry pick. but never been a guy to say I'm going to score 90 points in a high school game. Cherry picking. But he never was that guy. My only concern is he didn't play any college guys. And when you played overseas, I think he played on the worst team in the league. So, yeah, it was great to have you play against quote-unquote grown men, but how much of a learning curve are you going to have coming into the league? You're 6'7", you're wiry. The only soundbite I could get from him is he said, I am not changing my jump shot like my brother's not changing his. That's the only thing that, I mean, really, if anybody wants a soundbite, that's the only thing he's doing. And he shoots from the hip. So,
well, we'll see what happens.
I just think they need to follow the same path that the Clemson quarterback, not Trevor Lawrence, but DJ Uiagalelei did. And that is block his own father on Twitter. Thank you. Because his dad was so over the top in boasting about his son that he just didn't want to see it, needed to get a break from that. That is how the Ball brothers always should have been. They should have just blocked the dad out.
Yeah, I like that.
I do.
So who goes number one overall tomorrow night?
It's still up in the air. Right. I mean, they like Anthony Edwards from Georgia. James Wiseman's a great guy. I was talking about this kind of with my brother. It's James Wiseman, you don't know what he is. You say, you know, he's going to be the next Shaq and he's going to be the next this. Well, we kind of said that about DeAndre Ayton, who's with the Phoenix Suns. He's averaged a double-double, but you told me Shaq. I ain't seen Shaq yet. you talk about, you know, LaMelo Ball, he's going to change the whole course of, you know, the NBA as far as marketing and being probably the most hyped player. Well, now that's just another target on his back like you did the first child. Then you have Anthony Edwards. I just think he got hot at the right time. You know those players in football, let's put it in a football context, like a football player that gets hot like at the right time, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, he may go the first round. When at, you know, 5 months before it was like, you know, third round pick. Now it's, oh, this guy, we may have been missing something.
I know, but that player. That player is called Nick Foles. That's who that player is. Gets hot.
But he's a Super Bowl champion.
And the only reason is because he got hot at the right time.
And technically because he caught a touchdown, not threw it. The Philly special he caught. I do have, RJ, real quick. So this year you said it's still up in the air. And I feel like normal years it's pretty obvious of who's going to go one. Do you think because there was such a long offseason for a lot of teams that that's why it's kind of more up in the air?
It could be that reason. But I just also feel that there are a lot of guys that you just don't know yet. You don't know if you've seen the full package from these guys. There was one guy I talked to today during pre-draft interviews, Jamias Ramsey from Texas Tech. And he's a guy, they say he could either be a 3-and-D player, like a Tim Hardaway, not like a Tim Hardaway Jr. He could be a 3-and-D player, or he could be like a Tim Hardaway Jr., which is basically an offensive threat, but we don't know. So he could be really good, or he could just be a guy that stays around in the league. Another guy I talked to, Tyrell Terry from Stanford. He could either be Trae Young or he can be Seth Curry. Neither one are bad, but which one is he? I just don't know if there's like really a sure thing. You look at LaMelo, they say LaMelo's going to be Lonzo. So am I using my first pick just to get another Lonzo?
Yeah, no, thank you.
So there's really, I mean, listen, a couple years ago, the first overall pick was supposed to be who? Nerlens Noel, who was the first overall pick for the Cleveland Cavaliers? Anthony Bennett. Where's Anthony Bennett? Exactly. He's that guy you snap your fingers about. Like, who was the first overall pick a couple years ago? What's his name?
Well, it's crazy. Just like Taylor said, you know, the long offseason, you didn't get to see that, you know, that player shine in the March Madness since there was no March Madness. So.
Which, in, for a lot of people who aren't huge NBA fans or huge college basketball fans, that's when we usually see a lot of these guys, where we're like, oh, okay, like that's where we get our glimpses. And obviously, like, LaMelo wasn't playing there. He was out of the country playing, so it's not like we would know too much from March Madness about him, but a lot of the other guys we would.
Right, for sure.
So will both of you as NBA fans, I know RJ, I know the answer for him, will both of you be watching the NBA draft tomorrow night?
No.
I normally just watch the lottery picks. I watch the first 15 picks, and then it's kind of like, after that. I mean, there's just a lot of – this is the term I'm hearing a lot in this year's NBA draft, steal. He'll be a steal.
Everybody can't be a steal.
Everybody can't be a steal. I need a sure dog on thing, but fit is really going to be a big factor in this year's NBA draft. And what I feel is unfair to a lot of these rookies coming in, you get drafted tomorrow and you have just what? Like, a little bit over a month?
Yeah.
And then you're going right into playing. Normally this happens around June. You have about 3 months. You have the whole preseason thing. Get used to your teammates. But when you look at a Tyrell Terry guy and he's saying, well, I've talked to Brooklyn and Brooklyn seems interested.
Yeah.
But Brooklyn's a team that may be getting James Harden in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So now you may say, hey, Karis, hey, Jared Allen. They all left and they're all in Houston now. So you're really not used to anybody now. So this is going to be one of the craziest drafts I've ever seen.
Well, it's Wednesday, which means it's Masked Singer night in my house. So I'll get my updates on my phone. Like, my household is now run by whatever the kids want to watch. And yeah, so Wednesdays is Masked Singer night.
The other day, they showed a promo between Brian Austin Green and Urkel, the former Urkel.
The Masked Dancer.
And it's going to be, yeah, Brian Austin Green's going to be in the Masked Dancer. That was the Tom Brady and Antonio Brown kind of spoof that they did.
I am very excited
you
about
You are. I don't understand.
I don't know how I'm going to guess anything.
Yeah,
yes.
That's my question. How the heck do you guess how someone dances?
I mean, they're still wearing those, because some of those are very elaborate masks that I feel like would be difficult to dance in.
I'm guessing the clues will be easier. I can only guess that.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I heard that and I was like, wait, what?
Unless we're going to get to hear their normal voice, I don't know.
But talk about two things that are not in my wheelhouse, Taylor. The NBA and dancing. Oh, I was like...
Cool thing. This is how we start off our show.
Fine by me.
Look, I know we got to get into Jags, but we're coming up on it. So why don't we take an early break? And we will talk all things Jags and Ashlyn Sullivan, right?
Yes.
And Ashlyn Sullivan will join us as well and talk Jags at home. Coming up next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Sports. With a glass of Chardonnay, Helmets and Heels.
Driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, I'm Taylor Dahl, and we are joined by Ashlyn Sullivan, Jaguars team reporter. Ashlyn, hello. How are we doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are good. We are back. I think a little shocked on this Tuesday because I think a lot of people thought that game Sunday was going to be different than what it turned out, but it actually probably was one of the best case scenarios that we could look at when you're looking long term for the Jaguars. Would you agree with that, Ashlyn?
I do. I think it was great to see them really in the game and show so much effort, and really shout out to the coaching staff for having this team so prepared to play in those conditions and face, especially on the defense, a really good Packers offense. So I think that was the biggest standout for me, is that this team really didn't believe they were 1-7 going into this, and they didn't back down from a really huge challenge that a lot of people wrote them off. They weren't even going to be competitive in this game, much less lead at times. So, yes, unfortunate that they didn't get the win, but it was promising to see that the fight is absolutely still there.
Ashlyn, we're past the halfway mark for the NFL season. How have you seen the amount of entrants and people that want to participate for Jags at home grow?
It definitely is growing every week, and that's, I think, credit to our marketing team. They've done an awesome job at telling the story of what Jags at Home is and giving us stuff to post every single week. So we're seeing a steady incline, which is awesome. That's exactly what we hope for. And it's nice now to see, you're kind of starting to see the trends of who's coming every week. And I was so happy to hear the producers were telling me that in the chat they were talking about meeting up at a sports bar in a couple of weeks, like all getting together for a Jags at Home reunion. So that's definitely way more than we ever could have wished that spring.
That's fantastic. Can you tell, Ashlyn, if there are kind of two different groups of people on Jags at Home, the Luton versus Minshew group? Like, are there two different thoughts on the quarterback?
At times, yes. At times, the first week that we had Jake Luton at quarterback, it was definitely still a lot of people rooting for Gardner Minshew, and there still are those people that want to see more from Gardner Minshew. So I think it's almost at times an even split, and it's going to be up to this coaching staff and also how quick Gardner can get healthy. We heard from Coach Marone that as of right now, he doesn't feel like he's ready. He's going to get some throws in this week, but he already announced Jake Luton as the starter. So I think people are going to have to wait a little longer to see what's in store for Gardner Minshew.
Ashlyn, one of the really cool things from this past Sunday on Jags at Home was that Josh Scobie got to join this last Sunday. So how did that go?
It was fantastic. Josh Scobie is one of the best personalities that we work with Jaguars alumni. He had so much fun with it, more fun than I could have imagined. All around a great guy, and definitely loves to get out in the community and talk to Jaguars fans. Definitely a perfect fit for something like that because he's so friendly and just wants to get to know everyone. So I was told he was in the chat box basically chatting up for 4 hours straight with everyone.
Was he answering some of the questions too? Was he doing the trivia?
He was, yes. And strangely, he did not do so well. I thought he was going to do well. And the rule was whoever beat Josh Scobie and the trivia score was going to get free milkshakes at Crystal. So I'm sad to say Crystal's is in for a busy week because they're giving away a lot of milkshakes. Josh Scobie, he didn't do so hot in the trivia.
Well, we got the Steelers at home this coming up Sunday. So what are you expecting? I called last week that if the Jags were going to win one game, I said it was going to be the Steelers. What do you think?
I cannot agree more. And that's crazy to even blurt out because the Steelers are undefeated and this team right now is 1-8. But in franchise history, the Jaguars have beaten the Steelers 14 times and crazier things have happened. It's just something about this rivalry and this matchup. You can't rule anything out. And seeing how aggressive the Jaguars played last week, I mean, really, really passionate and every single drive playing fast, I think that's going to continue this week. I think they'll be even more motivated seeing how close they got to ending this losing streak. I agree with you. And it's crazy. People are like, what are you talking about? The Steelers are undefeated and Big Ben possibly could be the MVP of this league this year. But this team, for some reason, matches up so well against the Steelers in this rivalry. I think it brings out the best out of everyone.
I think in the past, the Jaguars have matched up better against the Steelers. For some reason, Ashlyn, I don't see it going the Jaguars' way on Sunday. Maybe that's optimistic thinking because I'm still hopeful for a number one or number two quarterback overall. But moreover, really, it's that Steelers' pass rush and how good their receiving core is that I just think they have the advantage.
Oh, big time. And when you look at their rosters, it's no doubt they have the advantage. But we said the same thing last week against the Packers, and it boiled down to a couple minutes and a couple plays going the opposite way. So I definitely think it's going to be a game. I don't expect this to be a blowout in any way. And I think nationally, if you were to look at this game, you'd be like, oh my gosh, the Jaguars have no chance. I don't think that's the case, but I definitely get what you're saying. And when you look at it realistically, yes, the rosters don't match up. But I don't know. It's just something about this rivalry. You can't rule it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Crazier things have happened. I do have one question about, based off the fact that there were such bad officiating calls on Sunday, how are people doing in the chat as far as that went?
That definitely fires people up, and rightfully so. It has not gone the Jaguars' way a couple of times. And we were talking to Coach Marone and we're talking to players, and sadly the case is that when you have a winning team, normally the calls just seem to go your way, and that's just the way it is. But the greatest way to reverse that is to get some wins and get out of this losing streak. But I totally got where Coach Marone was coming from post-game. He was frustrated, fired up, and he should be, because now this is a couple weeks where it boiled down to a few calls going a different direction, and that really could change the entire tone of the game.
That's definitely true, and we saw that. We saw how big the one that Marone ended up challenging. I hadn't seen Marone that worked up on the sideline in a little while, and it's fun to see that. It's fun to see, like you said, Ashlyn, that all of them are still in this and they haven't given up, even though maybe some other people in Jacksonville have. But Ashlyn, remind everybody where they go on Sunday to join all of this fun.
Yes, so it's jagsathome.com, and you can go on the website whenever you want. You don't have to register beforehand, and it's a second screen viewing experience, Jaguars trivia with myself and Eric Dunn, who's a Jaguars super fan. You have the chance to win $10,000 every single episode, and we're giving away all kinds of gift cards, and this week we'll be giving away a suite for the Browns game coming up. Ooh. So jagsathome.com. You can log in whenever you want, register as a guest, and just play along on Sunday.
Thanks again, Ashlyn. We will talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds great. I'll see you guys.
See ya.
So I don't know were you guys surprised after that game?
I was surprised during the entire game. I'm like, wait a minute. what defense is this? I don't recognize this one. It has remnants of something happening a few years ago, but yeah, it was fun to watch. This is the only thing I ask for the rest of the season. I want to watch fun games. I want to see them compete, and I want to see the possibility. But then I still want to see a loss at the end. That's all I want. Fun. You didn't bore me. You didn't embarrass me. And then, oh, you came so close. But you're still there in the hunt for whoever it's Trevor or if it's Justin Fields. So win-win. I'm so happy.
Well, and I honestly think that it is the best case scenario. And when I say that, it in a lot of aspects, because like you said, Donna, we at this point, the Jaguars are 1-8. So you are looking at the draft at this point, and we have been now for several weeks. But you didn't get embarrassed. So you actually saw some things that could be possible building blocks for a future Jaguars team, which is really exciting. And in that, and that's offensively and defensively. So I think that when you look at it all around, this is the exact game that you wanted to happen for the Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, when the weather reports were coming out, I started to think, okay, this game is not going to be a blowout like maybe I would have thought originally. And we talked to, on the kickoff show, Bill Huber, who covers the Packers for Sports Illustrated, and he said that cold they're used to up there, obviously, but the wind they're not. This is not Chicago, you know, nicknamed the Windy City. This is a place where it's typically milder than that as far as the wind is concerned. And so right then and there, I started to think, all right, Aaron Rodgers is not going to have one of those days where he throws it, obviously, all over the place. And so maybe C.J. Henderson can play better against Davante Adams than I would have normally thought. So I didn't think it was going to be 42-10 Packers by any means based off of that. This Sunday, there's nothing that tells me that the two teams are coming closer together. The wind was able to help the Jaguars. Remember, the Jaguars were competitive against the Texans. The Texans are terrible. The only wins the Texans have are against the Jags, and their defense is really, really bad. The Steelers are not just undefeated. Put the undefeated aside. They're extremely talented all over their roster. You look up and down, they have depth that the Jaguars don't have, and their starting players, obviously, are way more talented. So I'm not necessarily calling for a blowout because the NFL is, you know, a parity-driven league, but I just don't see a way the Jaguars pull this off. I certainly understand. In the past, yes, the Jaguars have always played the Steelers really well. I just think this year is going to be a different year. They have a really young quarterback. This is just his third start. And while I saw great things, Devon Hamilton played great, loved Keelan Cole's special teams, spectacular touchdown. Loved to see James Robinson continuing to run really well. The offensive line continues to play well. Luton played okay. Miles Jack obviously played well. I mentioned C.J. Henderson. Like, there were positive signs. But to me, there's no possible way the Steelers lose this football game. And if they lose, I am going to be absolutely furious. That is an absolute fact. So here's how my Sunday game watching went. So obviously, I cheer for the Jaguars out loud. Brian obviously does too, during the game. And then we get to later in the fourth quarter, and out loud I started cheering against the Jaguars. This is the first time, now in my head in the press box against the Texans I was cheering against, but that's, you know, not out loud. So I'm cheering out loud against the Jaguars because I really want them to lose. I want them to get this draft pick. And Brian's like, wait a minute. No, you don't know. He's like, no, we don't cheer. I want them to lose too, but I'm not going to ever cheer against them. Don't cheer against them. And I'm like, but it's really important that they lose. I can't have them winning this game. So we ended up, like, not arguing, but just going back and forth. Like, I'm allowed to cheer against them. No, you're not. That means you're not a fan. Well, I am a fan. I want the future, you know? And so it's like, dang it, Jaguars. Now I'm having to literally, like, change my mindset of how I watch a football game all for the future. It shouldn't be like
that. That's crazy. I don't – even though, yes, I do want the loss, I'm still not cheering against it. I'm so happy, and I'm like, wow, that was really good. I'm like, oh, wait. There's only a couple minutes left. Uh-oh. And then I just sit there quiet. So I'm not like outwardly, boo, I don't want you to win. But look, I think if they were to pull this victory off next week, hello, front office, please do not look at the Green Bay game and a possible, say it is a victory over the undefeated Steelers. Don't look at that and say, oh, well, these are our coaches. These guys are awesome. No, no, no. No, no, no. Everything that's there still needs to get thrown to the trash side. Please don't let your emotions.
To the trash.
This is what happened with Bortles. This is what happened all too many times. Do not let this cloud your judgment. Crap is still crap.
Yeah.
You know, you can maybe Febreze it, but it's still crap.
Well, and I think that is the hard part for a lot of people this past Sunday watching that game, is because not only, yes, you want that draft pick and you're at that spot now where you can get that two, you can maybe get that one. Yeah, it's right there. But you also are like, please just, like, a lot of these people, as much as you want to cheer for the Jaguars, are also like, there's not going to be changes if all of a sudden they start winning these games at the end of the season, because then they'll be like, oh, they figured it out. This was the missing pieces, or it was just something, you know, in the beginning of the season, and the coaches fixed that. And so it's scary on all levels when it comes to what the Jaguars, if what would happen if they somehow started to win, which I don't see that happening. I don't think that a win over Pittsburgh would do that. I think it would take more than that, than just one fluke win, because I feel like people would know that. People would know that, okay, Jaguars kind of have the number against Pittsburgh. It has that little extra rivalry in it, and Pittsburgh's bound to lose, people want to think. They've had a lot of really close calls with bad teams, Dallas and Philly and the Giants and the Texans. They barely beat those teams, and so it's a lot of people in their heads are thinking, okay, it has to come at some point.
Yeah, but I asked this of the guys earlier on the Frangie show, Frank and Hayes, like, are we, because we're so used to just saying, well, a team won't go winless and a team won't go undefeated, that at some point when we're 9 games into the season, should we probably stop saying that with such confidence? Because I'm starting to think the Jets are going to go winless, and the Steelers, I'm not going to predict that they definitely go 16-0. But things are certainly shaping up for them to be able to do that. Yes, they have to play better against some better teams. But I could see the Steelers sweeping the Ravens, and I could see the Steelers beating the Browns and the Colts. And like, there's a path to 16-0 as much as there's a path to 0-16 in my mind. I'm not saying that this Steelers team is necessarily going to do it, but I do think that we rely on those sayings so much, right? Like, oh, it's not going to happen. And it's like, well, at some point, like, we're now more than halfway through the season.
Yeah.
It's certainly starting to crystallize into a possibility. All right, here is the latest when it comes to injuries.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
Doug Marone met with the media yesterday, and here is what he had to say on injuries.
Yeah, I think Chris Thompson will go to IR. That'll come up this week. LaVisca, I think we'll wait and see. I'm not sure. It's too early. I think Lindy will be back. Gardner will go out and maybe throw a little, but he won't be ready. You know what I'm saying? So Jake will be playing. I think Dakota Allen will be fine. I think Doug Costin will be fine. Ezigbo will be out there practicing. Abe, he'll be working on the side. I'm not sure. Cam will be fine.
And the last one is James O'Shaughnessy. At the end, Marone said that he would be practicing later this week, but not until later this week. So I'm not sure if that's a scheduled days off thing or if he ended up getting nicked up in the loss to the Packers. But either way, there you have it. Doug Marone on injuries. Hopefully Laviska Shenault does get back in action this week. I think that could certainly help the Jaguars close the or open the playbook where it's been closed because of his injury. Jay Gruden talked to that. As soon as he went out against the Texans, they had all these different things, and not necessarily trick plays, but just different ways to utilize him. And the moment he got hurt with the hamstring, that went out the door.
Now, with Minshew back throwing, what do you think would have to happen or not happen on Sunday for it to be a question, an actual question between Minshew and Luton, rather than we kind of just think it's going to be Luton?
I think they're going to go with Luton for some time now. I think we're going to have to see some really bad games, a couple games in a row, which to me, he hasn't shown us that. I mean, the first game, I thought he was pretty good. And then the most recent game in the wind, yeah, that was a tough, those were tough conditions. But to me, in watching, and, you know, I'm not some expert, but I watched a lot of football. Luton gets the ball down the field way better than Minshew. Luton puts the ball in tight windows, like we saw that throw to Keelan Cole, and I loved what he said after the game. I just closed my eyes. I knew that ball was in traffic. Once I caught it, I just closed my eyes and went down. He, to me, and sometimes he honestly almost throws the ball too hard in some of those intermediate routes, but he's got such zip on the ball, and he has great pocket presence. He was sacked, of course, but most of the times he was in trouble in the pocket was more the offensive line breaking down. To me, I'm not going to say he's the answer quarterback for the franchise. I just went on the rant about how I don't want them to win another game. And I'm physically or out loud cheering against them. But I just think that Luton looks more like an NFL quarterback than even Gardner Minshew when he's healthy. So I think they're going to continue to play Luton. I don't think that it's going to be a controversy. Will there be fans that still want to see Minshew? Absolutely. But I don't think that's going to come from the coaching staff. But what about you?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think there would have to be a couple in a row of really bad where all of a sudden certain things are exposed where you start to say, okay, yes, this is what we didn't really get to see because we can say that game one, you know, there was you weren't playing a great defense and it was this and this and this. It was a bad team all of a sudden, like all around. And then this week you can use conditions where you were like, okay, it wasn't going to be great, but Aaron Rodgers threw an interception and he never throws interceptions because the conditions were terrible. So I think it will take a couple more and like bad ones for them to go back to that, because I think at this point they have found a little bit of spark with him and they found connections, and there's connections to multiple people right now, not just Luton and Chark. You know, that we saw it completely different on this last Sunday. So yeah, I agree, Lauren. I think that it would have to take a couple bad games.
By the way, when Bill Huber told us that he loves covering Aaron Rodgers and that he's a really good guy as far as answering really good he takes kind of time and really thinks through answers and he answers questions. He doesn't just give player, you know, rhetoric and things like that. What did you think, since you really don't like Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I've never interviewed him, but I would like to. That'd be kind of fun. I don't know. I've kind of heard that when it comes to media-wise, though. Media and the football people of Wisconsin or in Green Bay love Aaron Rodgers, and fans, obviously. But it's outside of that where you've heard opposite. You know, like random fans of other teams or servers or his family or ex-girlfriends are that where you hear like a lot more bad stuff. But that's what it was funny when you were saying you started cheering against the Jags, because I was like so aggressively, like I was weirdly laughing because I love watching Aaron Rodgers start getting frustrated, and I was like, he is so frustrated right now. And it's so funny because in his head he thought he was going to come in here and just throw the ball to Davante Adams a million times and it was going to be okay, and that didn't happen. And he knew in his head it was to a team that is not good at all. So it was so fun to me. I was like, I cannot cheer for the Jags to lose right now, because this is just making my heart so happy seeing him mad.
And I really felt dirty. That's like probably the best word to say. Like Brian was like, you can't
do
that.
You were.
And I'm like, but you don't understand. And he does understand, but it's like But I have to, because that's what I feel in my heart and my gut right now. I need the loss. I can't talk about the Jaguars possibly picking Trey Lance. I can't do it. I won't do it.
Well, ladies, we do have some history being made with the Marlins. So we're going to get to that up next. And we're going to share our thoughts on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tyre Outlet. And the crowd shouts,
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
We always get fun music when RJ Summers is in the studio with us. Donna Murphy, Taylor Dahl, and Lauren Brooks. Happy Tuesday night, everyone. It sure feels like after Texans fired PR director Amy Palsik, that a lot of other women in sports have been hired. Mm-hmm. So it's almost a very strange juxtaposition that she was let go. She tweeted how humiliating that was. And then we've seen lots of other women get hired in some powerful roles, including the Marlins named a female the general manager of the organization. That, to me, is absolutely incredible. And obviously everybody has raved about her and her resume and things like that. I think we are going to eventually see women in roles that we didn't think possible 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that as many bad things that have happened in 2020, a lot of really good things in the direction for female jobs in the sports industry has been incredible. It's been one thing after another. Back in January, that's when the Giants hired Alyssa Nacken. And then we saw the Orioles first play-by-play with Melanie Newman. And then now this. So that's three things in one year that it's first times for female roles in the sports world. And it's just incredible, and it's so exciting to watch too. And I was reading some of the stuff in the article, and she was saying, you know, just she's been in baseball for decades, and it's something like, you know, she didn't ever want to do anything else, and she interviewed in quite a few GM spots, and then this one happened. So, you know, she didn't give up. She didn't say, hey, this isn't going to happen. Let me just settle with something else. She kept going, and she made it happen, which is huge for women.
Yeah, so her name's Kim Ng, and it's awesome that she's able, at the age of 52, to take over as GM for the Marlins.
And you never want to cloud what she has done with a, you know, what the man of the story has done. But I do have to give kudos to Derek Jeter for at least being so open-minded and saying, you know what, her resume speaks for itself. If you put a man's name on that resume, you would have hired him years ago. But it took time, and it took someone like Derek Jeter to sit there and say, yes, I want to put all my money into her. I think she will make the correct decisions, you know. And he came out and he said, we look forward to having Kim bringing a wealth of knowledge and championship level. Now, granted, she was with Derek Jeter when he was with the Yankees, but still, for the fact, you know, that.
Well, then he saw that there. He saw something there and said, I want that in this organization.
Her resume is ridiculous. I mean, beginning as an intern with the White Sox in 1990. Now, granted, we're not talking about when, you know, people like Susie Colbert and others were going into locker rooms when the women weren't allowed in the locker rooms. But still, this is something in 1990. She started as an intern. And like you said, Taylor, she didn't want to work anywhere else. Like, baseball was her love, and this is what she wanted to do. And for her to sit here, and it took, you know, so many years, but it took 30 years for her to get to a GM position. This is amazing. It's absolutely incredible that she stuck with it, and she was like, I don't care. I don't care. Yep, I'm showing the door. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going for it, and I will hit that milestone that I want to reach.
Another first is that Jamie Little, and Donna, you're probably well aware of this, she will be the first woman ever to serve as the television voice of a national motorsports series, which is coming out, the ARCA Menard series.
ARCA.
And she was the first woman 16 years ago who became the first female pit reporter. And then 5 years ago, she was the first pit reporter for the network television coverage of both the Daytona and Indy 500s. So she's already been a trailblazer. Yeah. So she's obviously
Jamie Little
used to
is
that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she
Once you find
is.
Those sideline reporters or, you know, pit crew, whatever it is, if they're knowledgeable and they speak fluently and they're very good, then you like them. You like them. It's the doodahs, like the Michael Waltrips, that thinks he can be a pit reporter.
He
is awful. He is awful. I mute it. I turn it off because he runs around. He thinks he's smart. In an awful voice. If someone can speak, they're wonderful. They know what they're talking about and they're passionate about it. I'm rooting for you. I don't care if you're female or male. I'm rooting for you.
Well, and one thing you said speaks fluently. There is a different language in each sport. Each one has its own language. And so I think for a long time, women were probably not thought to be able to digest the jargon that is, you know, each sport's language. And then eventually women proved that they absolutely belong in the arena. And, it, you know, it's been fantastic to see. There's one thing I was thinking for some reason yesterday, if someone asked me, what advice would you give to a young person wanting to work in sports, a young female wanting to work in sports, what would it be? And mine is patience. You have to have patience. You may not be you may not get to where you envisioned yourself going as quickly as you did. Just have patience. Don't be in a hurry to get from point A to point B. Enjoy that internship and soak up all that knowledge, and don't be looking 5 years down the road at every turn. It takes a while. And it's not just because you're a woman. I mean, it takes lots of people a while. But a lot of times for females, you are going to have to work a little bit harder or prove yourself more and take maybe different roles than you would have envisioned early on. But if you have the patience, and I think Kim Ng proves it. Like I said, she's 52 years old. This is her first time becoming a general manager. We've seen much younger people become head coaches and GMs, obviously.
Man, Theo Epstein, how young was he when he, you know?
Early 30s, was, right?
Yeah. He was, I think, the youngest at the time when
he became. And like Sean McVay got the head coaching job at 31, and Lane Kiffin long before that, right? Young men. And so it may take longer than you originally thought, but it is so worth it once you achieve your goals and your dreams. And obviously, she's an inspiration for a lot of people. But Donna, what would be the advice you would give?
Mine would also probably start with the letter P, but I would say persistent. Be willing to just like with Kim Yang, even though you may not be told yes right away, it will take time, like you said, with patience. So I would also, you know, go on top of that and say persistent. Just stick to your guns. Make sure you tell them exactly what you want, you know, because if the males in this category can tell them, I want this, this, and this, why can't you say, I want this, this, and this, and still be told yes? Mm-hmm. So I would say persistent.
Yeah, I think I would say never stop learning. And in that, mm-hmm. it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes, but you have to push through that. And Lauren, I think that kind of goes in hand with what you were saying when it comes to patience, because it's hard to get, it's easy to get frustrated when you feel like you should be beyond where you're at. But when you just stop and take a breath sometimes and look back and look at the very beginning of when it started to where you are now, and in that, you learn a ton. Like the amount of stuff that I've learned since I started working at 1010 are things that I never would have even thought I would want to learn or mm-hmm. need to learn. But here I am. And then now, so your role of things and knowledge that you have, it just grows every single day, which is huge, because you don't love every sport. You don't, you know, but in this industry, it's good to know a little bit of everything. And it's good to have that knowledge of all of it. And you can focus on your one thing that you love. Right. And obviously, like with Kim, she loves baseball and stuck with that. But some of these ladies, which I don't know if you've seen, I want to say it's an IBM commercial, but it comes on Sun. I want to say Sundays.
Is it the ballerina?
No, it's this one. And she, it's pretty much talking about, it's a female that works for ESPN, and she is going on and saying, like, you know, people say this job's easy. It's not. It's hard work every day. Like, we're studying, we're learning remembering stats and analyzing stats mm-hmm. and this. And like, I think a lot of times when you get into this job, you think it's going to be all just fun. Hey, right. we get to sit here and talk about football, which is awesome. And we get to do that every day. But there is a lot of things that we're constantly reading and learning and taking in knowledge. And you never want to get bored by that. Once you're bored by learning the new stuff, I think is when there's a problem.
Well, I think it's great how we all kind of said something different, but I think we all said something different because it comes from where we started. Like, you started as an intern, mm-hmm. Taylor, so you worked your way up, and it did take time, yeah. and you learned more, and you learned little different jobs mm-hmm. along the way. Mine, I say persistent because I worked at a different radio station before 1010, and I knew, and I told them, I want to be in the sports side. And there was no room. And I said, well, then I will find my own room and I will go somewhere else. So I made sure that I went to where I would fit in instead of, you know, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I made my own. I was like, no, sorry. I told you what I wanted. And if you can't give me that, then I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. You were aggressive.
Mm-hmm. I was.
I think another really cool thing about Kim Ng is she going to the Marlins is we saw a glimpse of really good Marlins this last year, and Don Mattingly won coach of the manager of the year. So we're seeing she's going into an organization that's on the up, and she mm-hmm. gets to help that, and she gets to go where normally, you know, the Marlins are somebody nobody would talk about. Mm-hmm. But now here we are. We're talking about how they had manager of the year and now a female GM, which is, it's so exciting for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's awesome. And in general, you know, one of the fun things we have on the Frangie Show is the Scholar Athlete of the Week. And sometimes, obviously, they're females, and it's so fun to get their different perspectives on things because, look, I mean, they're a lot younger than us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're a lot younger. And so they've already seen the world a little bit differently and seen more women in opportunities that we might not have grown up seeing. And today, our scholar athlete plays tackle football.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And Hayes, I think, asked her favorite story from football, and she said, well, one time a kid on the field said, well, she doesn't belong here. And so her dad, who was her coach at the time, said, all right, well, I'm going to put my daughter up against any of you as far as tackling goes. And so that happened. And the kid quit. The little boy quit because she was so much better than him.
What does she play? What position?
She's a fullback.
Okay.
So I thought that was just incredible. I mean, I definitely did not think growing up that tackle football was an option. Never in a million years. And I love that for her it is. And she does a lot of other sports too. It's awesome. Her name's Crystal Smith from Terry Parker. But it was like, it was just so eye-opening that in this day and age, you can do that. I mean, regardless of how you voted, and this is the most non-political show on our state.
Oh my gosh, yes.
None of our shows are political. And regardless of how you voted, though, the fact that there's a female that's a vice president, there are so many little girls that are going to grow up and think that that dream can be a reality, not just someone telling you, oh, well, yeah, one day a woman mm-hmm. will, you know, hold one of those roles. Like, that is incredible.
I can't believe that little boy quit.
Yeah, he quit.
Yeah. That's like, that's awful. That's so.
Hey, sometimes you find out you don't belong. If you can't hang wow. with the big dogs, get off the porch. That was a
saying
that
I grew up with.
I'm just thinking,
like, if my son did that, I'd be like, he would never quit because of the stuff that he already tells me. So, yeah, no.
Well, we're going to talk a little Green Jacket coming up next. That's right. The Masters, Donna's favorite subject, is coming up on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010 XL.
Seven years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010 XL.
Before we get into some Green Jacket talk, I wanted to say a quick thank you to Tire Outlet because last week I was having some issues with my car. My car's older anyway, and I'm kind of to that point where I need a new one, but I'm trying to get through the holidays at least. So I took it and I was honest saying, hey guys, look, I really need help because I'm not sure what's happening, but this is not driving okay. But also I just need to get through the next few months.
And you know they love to hear that.
Oh yeah, I know, and I
just
know
can't
that's
escape by.
Not what they want to hear, but they were awesome, and they were. Good. Danny is who I talked to up at the one on Beach and 295, and he was great and quick. First of all, I dropped it off. It was within almost minutes that I was already getting a phone call saying, "Hey, we drove it, and this is what it looks like." Which happened to be I needed three new tires. I had a nail in one, and it was split. I had one that had wires exposed, and then I had another one that had like a slash on part of it. So all of my tires were just pretty much
dang, girl.
Gone. Yeah. But they were awesome. Like I said, so quick and very honest. And I know they don't want to hear that. Like, hey, I don't want to spend a lot of money, but this mm-hmm. is what I need. But so they gave me, hey, this is what needs to be fixed right now. Obviously, your three tires because you're driving on a death trap pretty much.
No but wonder I just wanted it was shaking.
That, yeah, and it was shaking so bad. And it progressively got worse. So I'm thinking that one of the wires exposed is like a wear.
Right.
It's been worn. I'm thinking I hit a nail within like that day or the day before because that's when it started really shaking. But I just wanted to say thank you to Danny and Tire Outlet for being awesome because every week we talk about them on here. And I know, Donna, you've taken your mm-hmm. tires here and a lot of people in the building do. So now my car is driving and I'm safe. So thank you.
That's good.
but moving on. So Dustin Johnson, 20 under, got the Green Jacket, his second major. And I think it was 4 years since the one previous to that.
Love that.
It's different this year in many aspects because it's a different time of year than it normally is. It was on at the same time as college football and pro football. So that kind of, you know, made things a lot different. And one of the questions we asked last week when we had the guest on, what was his
Gary
name?
Smith.
Gary Smith, yeah. He said, you know, they're not really quite sure what it's going to be because timing-wise, they tried to plan it to where you could still, you know, watch the Masters and then after that go on to the big college games on Saturday. There was a lot of weather delay and all of this stuff. But, Donna, how did that – I know you're not even a huge Masters fan in general. Did you watch any of this on this last weekend?
Honestly.
Not 1 second?
Because my husband was out and mm-hmm. he's the golf guy, and so he would have put it on. No. No. I watched – College game day for the fact of it, Saturday was the date. It was November 14th. So that was the 50th yeah. anniversary of the Marshall plane crash. So I watched college game day because I'm like, I want to see, you know, what's going on. And yeah, I forgot they were going to be live from Augusta. And then I was like, oh, you're live from Augusta. Oh, wow. We're going to get golf talk all during college game day. And I'm not like, I'm not a Lauren fan. Like, I'm not a college game day. I watch it.
Not a Lauren fan.
You know, like how big of a fan yeah, you are with college. That's not me. You know, I watch Marshall and it's, you know, I mean, it's Marshall. So, you know, it's not a whole lot. They're great, yeah. But it's just.
Do you think you were watching a little bit more Saturday because you wanted to see if they were going to do something special for Marshall?
I only watched college game day. That was it. Yeah. It was just because I wanted to see that. It was nothing to do with them being at Augusta because I could care less. Mm-hmm. Your football. Why are you at a golf course at? Shh. You can't really talk very loud. I thought it was awful. and made no sense. And we did get a whole lot of golf talk during that. And I'm like, why? So look, I only watched Thursday. I saw the ratings were an all-time low, which made me smile. Because if you were smart, knowing that you changed it because everything had to change because of COVID, but why can't you do Tuesday through Friday? Mm-hmm. You would have garnered all of that. You would have owned Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But no, you're still going to stick with your Thursday through Sunday because that's what you are. Your ratings would have been probably skyrocketed. Yeah. But nope, you went against college football and against the NFL, and they showed you that you do not rule the sports world, Masters. You do not. It is college football, and it is the NFL.
Yeah, to me, and I understand viewers were down, to me it was fantastic. I loved it. I watched all 4 days. Brian made homemade pimento cheese on Sunday, which was phenomenal. And I really enjoy certain golf tournaments. I'm not going to watch golf every weekend unless I'm playing fantasy golf, which I decided not to do this year because I would have been bad at it. And I made the right decision. By the way, a friend texted me, like, he runs the league, and he's like, all right, I'm leaning towards DJ. What do you think? And I ended up talking him out of DJ.
Oh, no.
Or so I thought. But then, as it turns out, he did not listen to me.
Smart.
And he still picked. Right. Correct. I was like, this is why. Don't listen to me. This is why I didn't play this year. I used to get, like, good gut feelings. And this year, I just, like, this. The only gut feeling I had for the Masters this year was that Rory was going to be terrible. Well, that was 100% wrong. So, again, I was off on golf. I'm glad I didn't play. But, of course, when there's a bet on it on our show, then that's going to make me watch more too.
Yeah,
but
who did you pick, by the way?
So I really was leaning towards Xander Schauffele, but Hayes went first and Hayes took Xander Schauffele. So I ended up going Brooks Koepka. I could have taken Rory, but like I said, I had a bad gut feeling about Rory. So I took Koepka, and then Gibby took Rory and Frank had Webb Simpson. Mm. And so Hayes ended up losing because Schauffele tied for 17th, was only 7 under, and then everybody else was 9 under or better.
At least everybody made the cut.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
that's
exactly.
Surprising. That.
Right. It was, yeah, it was the best we had all done in golf all season for sure. But I don't mind the golf course without the fans. I didn't mind the golf course without the azaleas. Like, there are certain golf events, especially these majors, that just pull me in. And I can literally, like, I was in my office and I would be working and I would just have the Masters on. And I'd just be listening to it, doing other stuff. And I was like, I love this. I love Jim Nance's voice, too. They even had Michelle Wee West on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. She was really good. Like, I'm telling you, there are certain golf tournaments I can just sit and be around it for days.
Is she keeping? She's
yes,
Wee West?
She's Wee West. Michelle Wee West.
All right.
Wee Dash West. That would be correct. Mm. But, yeah, I don't know about you, Taylor. I loved it.
So Saturday I was at a wedding, which ended up being, it was a blast, my uncle's wedding, but it was literally all day long. He had it on his property. He has 5 acres of property. So it was all outside and very spaced out and nice. And it was still gorgeous. The day ended, it was like 75 and perfect, a little breezy, like no clouds. So it was so great. But we got there at 2 o'clock and didn't leave until 11 that night. So I didn't get to watch any of it Saturday, but I was following on my phone as much as possible. There was even one point where one of my family members was sitting across from me when you're eating. She's like, are you seriously checking scores right now? I was like, the Masters are on.
Do you not know
me? I have to do this. Sunday, I did watch a good portion of it. I liked how we saw a kind of like vulnerable, emotional Dustin Johnson, because a lot of that you see of him is like, keep it calm and he plays it cool all the time. Like, okay, Dustin Johnson never really gets shaken. Like, he got pretty emotional, and I liked seeing that because we've talked about that on the show before where we like that raw emotion.
Well, his fiance, Paulina Gretzky, wore a green jacket, an Adidas green jacket,
like
on
a track
Sunday.
Suit type jacket.
Yeah. And clearly, to wear a green jacket, regardless of whether it's a blazer or a tracksuit, to me, she was sending the message that she thought her fiancé was going to win the Masters. It, for me, I could have never done that, because what if he faltered and lost the golf tournament, and then everyone's, you know, looking at my false confidence, so to speak, or my I think at that point it's almost more braggadocious, right? Like, I think you have that in your bag, and you don't pull that out until he goes 20 under and wins the entire tournament.
You said braggadocious?
Yeah, I don't know if I just made up that word.
I think
it's a word, but
you are my grammar queen over there. And if that is a word, I need to know it because that's fantastic.
In the end, as I looked that up, I like Paulina Gretzky as far as like, I think she's a fun person. Mm-hmm. I like that she doesn't really care what other people think. Like, go for it. I just would have been afraid that I would have jinxed, I guess, my fiance. That's, I guess,
I
the
see.
Best thing. And
I
yes, braggadocious is a real word.
That is boastful. A fantastic.
I thought so. I just needed to double check before I declared that. Donna started everybody. Using it, and then people started making fun of her behind her back.
That is the new word on heels.
Braggadocious. It sounds like a Fergie song.
It does, right? It
describes Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend quite well.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, could you have worn it?
No, I don't think. I think I would wear it now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Afterwards? Or I put just, it on after he
yeah.
you
know, I was just more shocked by what she wore on Thursday because I'm like, are those girls just going to jump out? Because
ooh, I didn't see this.
You got to, if you just Google Paulina Gretzky Masters and you'll see the one that says 4 days ago because it was a shot that they had, and I'm looking at it right here, is a shot they have by a tree. And the tank top has come very, 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 very low down than what it normally was. And I think, I don't know if her bag, her crossover bag,
yeah,
whatever, like
pulled it down.
But I was like, oh, all right. But she's, you know, she's very tall. She's beautiful.
Gorgeous, yes.
But she's so tall. And those white pants, so tall. It's like, how? I don't know. But look, hey. Would I have worn the green jacket? Not on that particular day. I do enjoy the jacket. It is very stylish.
Oh, yeah. And he's, I think, Adidas, so it makes sense.
Right.
Did anybody get to talk to her? Has she made a comment about it? Does anybody know?
I don't know. She doesn't normally talk. Like she's
that.
Not, yeah. I never hear her say anything,
yeah.
But I'm off of social media now, and I still don't see stories.
Yeah, I don't follow her.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think, Lauren, the same thing. I would kind of go for, well, kind of think it would be a jinx. I personally
right.
would not be able to be like, hey, today is the green jacket day. And my
especially
husband might be able to, yeah, like he
has
he could
fallen
be potentially, yeah,
like
right.
that.
And, but
literally
I don't
fallen
think,
in the past before
yes,
the Masters.
Yeah. But I don't think that me watching the Masters when I saw that was like, oh my God, she's wearing a green jacket on. And it's Masters green jacket. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't until people on Twitter started really talking about it that I was like, ooh, probably not the best idea.
I saw people be like, I need this jacket and this confidence. And
yeah.
Like, at first I was like, wait, why did confidence? It's just, it's a
green jacket.
Duh. It is interesting to me, and this means nothing, but they've been engaged for 7 years and had two kids since they got engaged, but they've never gotten married.
Well,
everybody does differently. Just
maybe they'll do the Kurt Russell Goldie Hawn.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Just never get married.
Hey.
Well, Lauren, you had a big win, a big Gator win over the weekend, and Notre Dame got through their trap game of what people were calling it. So we're going to talk a little bit of college football coming up next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Our wonderful producer, RJ Saunders, has alerted to us to take a look at Tobias Harris's
Instagram.
I don't even know. Sure, just the Instagram. He has thrown an extremely elaborate and beautiful proposal for his now fiance. I assume she said yes.
She did.
Okay.
Hopefully after all that. Woo!
It is something that, yes, it left us jaw dropped. It is in a big open field, many, 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 many rose petals, lots of candles, a chandelier. There's lots of things involved in this. Beautiful. Tobias Harris, he plays for the 76ers. And so my question to you ladies, if you had your man propose to you in this kind of elaborate form, when you saw the ring, which we have yet to see the ring, if it was not up to these standards of the proposal, would you give like a, how would you react?
I would be thrilled to be proposed to, and therefore I would be thankful and grateful no matter what the ring looks like. That is the correct answer, Donna Murphy.
I actually, I'm not like a big jewelry ring person anyway, so I honestly, I don't really care. I don't know like what a good one would be technically.
Oh, I do know that.
I know. Like, and I've even been like, maybe I should start like kind of knowing this, like an idea of what I want. But I really, truly have no idea. And I think I would like the everything else more than the ring either way.
I actually really like what he posted, which is a quote, "Life exists only at this very moment. And in this moment, it is infinite and eternal. For the present moment is infinitely small. Before we can measure it, it has gone, and yet it persists forever." So I think his thinking behind this this incredible proposal is, you only get so many days in life that you will look back on and remember forever. And certainly that is one of them. And you know what? Maybe his thought process is, hey, we did this, or I planned this crazy awesome proposal, and now we're going to do more of like a simple wedding, you know, maybe even like elope, something along those lines, especially in this pandemic. Who knows? But maybe that's the philosophy. However, if you are with someone who's very wealthy and they put that type of proposal on, so this is not my answer, but this would be my answer if I was her. Yes, I would expect then a ring that's equivalent to the proposal, which I'm going to guess.
Well, and I'm sure that's a conversation that they have
had. Yeah, I'm going to take a wild stab at things and guess the proposal was about $30,000. And I'm going to guess that his ring that he got for her is probably closer to like $100,000. And I'm just throwing numbers out there. I have no idea.
Right.
But that would be just a wild stab at things. Yeah, that ring better cost more than the proposal. The wedding doesn't have to cost more than the ring, though, I guess, in theory.
It's beautiful. I think it would be extremely romantic if, when they do have their wedding, that they got married right there and they have it in the field again.
Yeah, because it is, the very last picture is them overlooking some sort of water. So
that'd be very pretty.
Yeah, it looks like a great spot. Sure. Absolutely.
All right, so that was our side note, which I've had a few side notes tonight. I'm sorry. All right, college, you, Lauren, have started doing the push-ups for your team. You started this year, didn't you?
No, I've done it for years now. Okay. But a lot of times, if I'm not at home, then I won't do the push-ups.
Okay.
Obviously, if I'm at the game, I'm not going to do them. If I'm at a friend's house, it depends how many people are going to look at me weirdly. So it just depends on where I am. But yeah. This year, for sure, has been fun because the offense has been so explosive. Yet, I'm also finding myself doing more than I've ever done before, to the point where this past week, I think I ended up counting like over 300. And so I have to admit a little secret. When the Gators got to over 50 points, I pulled out my yoga mat and I started doing them on my knees. And so I've never before done that. Like, no matter how many points the Gators have scored, I've never gone to my knees for push-ups.
So do you?
But I had to.
You do the push-up for touchdowns only?
No. Every point scored.
Okay.
So a touchdown, obviously 7 points. And the game this week went 7 points, 14 points. So 7 push-ups, 14 push-ups, 21 push-ups, 28 push-ups, 35 push-ups, 42 push-ups. And then I forget at that point exactly how the scoring went. But so then by the time Florida had scored 63 points, I have to do 63 push-ups.
Oh.
So the last two rounds, I was like, I can't. And plus, we had done bicep work at the gym on Friday. So I was already coming into this push-up mess with sore arms. And so by the time, and so I was like, I feel like I'm cheating and I don't want this to jinx my team. But at some point, like, my upper body needed a little bit of a break.
Do you change it up? Do you do like wide push-ups?
No,
do you
do, I don't. Like, I'm just trying to get through as fast as possible. And wide and diamond are much more difficult than just regular.
Does Brian cheer you on or does he just like,
He depends.
Puts his foot on her back.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Faster.
It's a good question. He cheers me on probably a little bit at the beginning. And this time my parents came over for the first half. So my mom was counting, which was awesome because she would also get a little bit ahead. So I'd be like, all right, we're just going to fly through these. No, I did them for real. But then by like the end, he was like, you don't have to do any more push-ups. Like, you're good. You don't have to. And I'm like, I have to. And he's like, no, you don't. And I was like, no, I do. So that's when I came up with the compromise. So now you know what it's like in my household on a Saturday night.
You're crazy.
Yes.
If I had to do that for the Bears, I wouldn't have to do any.
No, you would not be all that strong there,
not
Taylor.
Be strong. How was it last night, Taylor?
How? No. Ugh, I just... I'm to the point where I'm so frustrated, and I honestly feel I felt a little bad because I like Nick Foles as a person. I really do. I think he's great, and I think if he played well, it would be a lot of people's favorite quarterback because he's so nice. He speaks so well. The team loves him. Like, the Bears love him, and the guys kept saying that, and I'm like, okay, but he's not. Like, he's not doing anything, and he's not any better than Trubisky right now, honestly, when it comes to passing, and he can't run, so that takes away even more. But when he went down, I was like, oh, Trubisky can come back after the bye week. And Colin's like, seriously? You don't even know what's wrong yet. And I was like, I'm not wishing, like, serious injury. Just he needs a little time. We have a bye week. Trubisky comes back. And so I felt a little bad at that moment because I'm like, Foles, I hope you're okay. But which right now they said it wasn't anything serious. So thank goodness, because honestly, for a minute, it looked like a clavicle again the way he landed. And I was like, ooh, this poor guy. But it's just frustrating at this point because, granted, I've talked about it for weeks, but the line's terrible and they haven't gotten any better. Leon Searcy earlier, because, you know, a lot of things, like, we can say this from what we watch, but sure. Guys like Leon who are in the game, and he says when he watches games, he watches the offensive line a lot. Mm-hmm. And he obviously understands more in depth. So I asked him, I was like, am I just being crazy? I was like, how much of the Bears have you watched? He's like, you know, especially last night, I watched a lot, but I've seen a decent amount. And he was like, Taylor, at least four of your linemen should not even be in the NFL. And I was like, okay, yes. I've said that. And I thought I was just being, you know, dramatic because it was bad. But it's honestly been times where they'll watch the guy go right by him. And Leon's like, he's like, I mean that. And he's like, I know you're on your third string, but these third string guys look like they shouldn't even be playing in the NFL. And I was like, okay, at least it's not just me.
So I was asleep when he got hurt last night. I watched the first half and I was like, this game, I even told Brian, I was like, it was 7-3 at that point, right? And I was like, this game's going to end up like 14-10 or something abysmal. I was like, I'm not staying up. But anyway, so did Tyler Bray come in when Foles went out?
It was 40 seconds left.
Okay,
in the
so you have no idea if he would help with
it. Well, we've seen Bray before.
Okay.
He was our backup, and Trubisky got hurt last year, and Bray had to come in for a few games, and he won. The one that I was at, the Bears played the Giants, and that's the one I went to in November last year, and Bray played that one and won and looked pretty good. He's definitely a backup, like strictly backup.
Okay.
But he does have those, he just has that, like, can do enough, but I'm not sure if any quarterback other than maybe like the best and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and I don't even know if Rodgers could do good behind this line right now is how bad it is. So who knows? But yeah, he only played 40 seconds and it did not look good at all, but I don't know what they really expected him to do in that time.
Bears fans are thinking about Kyle Trask, about drafting Kyle Trask. And so my question to you, are you now going to watch Florida games a little differently to evaluate the quarterback?
Probably. I think that I've already paid a good amount of attention to Trask just because my grandpa's a Gator fan, especially this last weekend. We were at the wedding, but I had it up on my phone and me and my grandpa are like watching, and he's so excited this year. But now it might change it. But I think I'm at the point where I also have to figure out what I want because they're 5-5. So there's still an opportunity for the Bears to have 9-10 wins, and who knows, depending what the Rams do, because that's a lot of like who's ahead of them when it comes to making the playoffs. But do I say forget it because we need a quarterback, like don't win again and stop at 5? I don't know. Like, I haven't figured out where I'm at with that yet.
But do you think realistically you can get to 9 or 10 wins?
I think so. Just with the remainder of what the hardest part, which I told a friend when we got into this last chunk of games, I was like, this is the hardest part of our schedule. I honestly think we're going to go 1-5 or 2-4. And we went 1-5. But before that beat Carolina and Tampa. So there was like glimpses of good. The entire line got hurt and dropped out. And that's what this last four games has been, was that. But after this, we have Texans, who we know are bad, the Jaguars, the Vikings again, which we saw last night. The Bears had 100 yards of offense and still almost beat the Vikings. So I think that if they can find any sort of momentum on the offense at all, they can. Green Bay is always a good game. In our worst years, we can split with Green Bay because it's just that like intense rivalry, and it's going to be hard, not easy, but I think it's possible.
I think Kyle Trask is going to be a really good NFL quarterback, and I know it's crazy to say he didn't start any high school games. His college career was certainly different than a lot of people's. He was never named the starter until he was sort of 1 year, and then he got injured. And then all of a sudden last year, so 2 years ago, and then last year came in when Felipe Franks got injured, and has just incredible calm and poise. And, I mean, on Saturday night, Damian Pierce, the running back, they're going to do a little flea flicker, and Damian Pierce messes up the ball to Trask, and Trask, it's too low, and Trask calmly takes the ball from being too low, lifts it back to where it should be, and then kind of leaning back, throws this beautiful, it was underthrown, mm-hmm. but given the situation, he still finds Xavier Henderson, CJ Henderson's little brother, who's kind of backpedaling, and it's good for whatever the yardage gain was, and a touchdown, and it's like, holy cow, what he can do, that poise, mm-hmm. that slow heartbeat, so to speak, is what is so incredibly hard to find, and he's accurate, and people had worried about his arm strength, I don't think they need to,
no.
but he's got so many good qualities, and so I do think we're going to end up seeing him start for a long time in this league. It's still probably, some people will say it's too early to tell, and certainly Florida's going to match up with Alabama, hopefully, in the SEC Championship. That'll be a really good test, because then he's going up against a lot of future NFL talent. But my goodness, so far, I think if I'm a Bears fan, I'm hoping that my team probably loses to get a good quarterback because you don't have one.
Yeah, which that's me. Never have my whole life. So I think I'm just so numb to it that I'm like, it's not going to happen. But what, going back, was the reasoning for Franks? Did they just think Franks was that much better than Trask, or didn't know enough about Trask when he was starting over him?
So Trask doesn't fit exactly Mullen's system the way that Felipe Franks does. Mullen wants a guy who, he calls it like a willing and able runner. And so Felipe Franks isn't the fastest by any means, but he's better at running the football than Trask is. And he has this massive arm. If you remember a few years ago, Florida was losing to Tennessee, and then Felipe Franks throws like a 70-plus yard touchdown to Tyree Cleveland, who actually now is in the NFL. The heave to cleave is what they called it. But it was unbelievable how far that ball traveled through the air. And so he had all that raw talent and just never quite could put it together in games, but mm-hmm. they saw so much potential that everyone thought, well, we can mold him.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get better, and then he'd have some bad games. He just, to me, Felipe's football IQ just never advanced to the point where it needed to. And Kyle Trask then has this uncanny ability to not get any experience in high school as a starter or in college, and then all of a sudden, when his number's called, come in and look like he's been doing this his whole life. It is wild to watch. And obviously now he's got 28 touchdown passes, and he had 6 the other night, and he's doing unbelievable things. And you just wonder, right, I always wonder now, how did Mullen have these two guys and not figure out at some point, you know what, let me play Trask a game. Yeah. Felipe's struggling a little bit. And eventually, like I said, a couple of years ago, it did come to that. They were going to start Trask, and then he broke his foot in practice, which is just so unfortunate, because then I think we would have been able to see what he could do. But it is wild, though. There was a spring game 3 years ago now, and Trask was terrible in it. So it's like, well, you know what? I can't definitively say one thing of it or the other. I just know that I'm glad that when Felipe got hurt, Trask came in, and they had him ready to go last year against Kentucky, and ever since
now he's in Heisman talks.
And now he's leading the odds to win the Heisman Trophy. And he'll, like I said, Florida should hopefully face Alabama. He'll go head-to-head with Mac Jones, who's also in that Heisman conversation. The Heisman voting is scheduled for after that game. So they should have a clear picture, I think, of who to vote for. But either way, if the Bears end up with him, I think you're ending up with a really good quarterback.
I hope so. I'm just like, please, we need something.
That's why Lauren is my go-to college girl.
Yeah. I asked Lauren this earlier. Donna, have you seen the picture where they swapped Trevor Lawrence's hair and Mac Jones' hair? They like took their faces but flopped their hair. Mm-mm. If nobody's seen that, go. I'm sure you can just Google it now and say Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence, and it is so disturbing. Like, it's so disturbing because, you know, Trevor Lawrence has like the long, beautiful blonde hair. Well, Mac Jones kind of has like a softer face, is the way I can say it. And the flop is very, very interesting to look at. RJ, have you seen it?
I have not.
Oh. Here, that's an interesting one.
Oh. So Mac Jones just looks like, I think, like a Catholic schoolgirl almost.
Yeah.
And Trevor Lawrence just looks like a cleaned up version.
Well, and I was trying, when the one I saw, I didn't see who it was. Obviously, I knew the one was Trevor Lawrence, But then I was like, who is this other kid? So I'm trying to go through because it just said Heisman possibilities or something. So I'm like, who is that? Is that Mac Jones? Is that? And then I was like, maybe that's Trask. And I was like, no, that's not Trask. So I'm like going through. I'm like, oh, goodness.
They could have done it with, well, no, because Trask is short. Yeah, no, they could have done it with Trask.
Oh, the hair. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take our hair and get out of here.
Yes. That's right.
Oh, we want to thank Tire Outlet and
thank you for making me safe.
Taylor especially wants to thank Tire Outlet for coming on board. Don't forget, Wednesdays are their ladies' days, $18.99. Oil changes all day long, 12 convenient locations for you right here in Jacksonville. We want to thank and remind you the J-Fund Radiothon will be Tuesday, December 1st right here. And we want to thank Julia Davis for joining us earlier today to talk about that. For RJ Saunders, for Taylor Dahl, for Lauren Brooks, I am Donna Murphy. You guys have a wonderful Tuesday night.